Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this Palm Sunday, is our Old Testament lesson, Book of Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning at the ninth verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, there's an old saying from the philosopher George Santayana, which goes like this: those who cannot remember the past are destined to repeat it. Those who cannot remember the past are destined to repeat it. Nowadays in the news, we hear all kinds of news. We hear about the Gaza Strip, and we may think those who cannot remember the past are destined to repeat it. Well, maybe we should remember the past. Why don't we do that? Let's start 1948, Israeli War of Independence. I'm just reading these off for you. 1948 to 1949, upon Israel's declaration of independence, Egypt, Transjordan, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia joined the local Palestinian militias in attacking Israel. 1956, the Suez War. Israel, France, and Britain invade Egypt. U.S. and Soviet pressure force a ceasefire and an Allied withdrawal from the Egyptian territory. The Iraqi Army Revolt, 1958. Brigadier General Abdul Karim al-Qassim overthrows the royal government of King Faisal II. 1958, Lebanese Civil War. Christian and Muslim communities engage in civil conflict. 1959, the Mosul Revolt. Pro-Qassim communist militia called the People's Resistance Force violently suppressed an anti-Qassim Sunni army faction made up mostly of junior officers. 1959, the Kirkuk violence. 1961, the Iraqi Kurdish Revolt. 1966, the North Yemen should we keep going? Shall we keep going? Maybe that's the question. Because I got 2.5 more pages of this. It's all 11 point. It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? And what do we say? We say, the Middle East. The Middle East. And that's only since 1948. Because it wasn't any different before that. The earliest written records that we have are of the Sumerian city-states in the country now of Iraq and their continuous wars with one another. And before that, you can go back to Cain and Abel, and you come back once again. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. It is a sound warning for our nation because we Americans are known for many, many good things, but one of those good things is not our long-term memory. If anything is beyond one news cycle, we forget about it. It's over and done with. It's in the past. Why talk about it? And what's interesting is that the Middle East seems to be just the opposite. For them, it's those who remember the past are condemned to repeat it, because they remember. They remember. They remember the injury that that person did to them, and that this one over here did, and this one over here did, and this one over here did. And over again, it's vendetta and recompense and revenge. You do not let go of any injury. You do not let go of any injustice. Doesn't matter how long ago it happened. And of course, to set things right, you use might, because might makes right. Now ask yourself, does it work? Has it worked? Revenge, recompense, might makes right? Well, the reality of our world is that as long as there are bad guys out there, there's always going to be a need for weapons of war, but you don't want to imagine that it's going to fix anything. You don't want to imagine that it's going to make anything right in the final sense. As probably every one of us have at one time or another fantasized and said to ourselves, if only I could be God for a day, what would I do? Well, first thing, I'd be getting rid of you. I'd be taking care of you, and this would be taken care of over there. If only I were God for a day, I'd kill off all the bad guys. I'd get rid of all of them. And if I got rid of all of them, what would happen? Well, 16 to 18 years later, you would have a whole other crop of them, wouldn't you? Because such is the human heart, deceitful beyond all things, Book of Jeremiah. Who can understand it? And so we have an endless list of payback and retribution and revenge. Now, what you want to understand at this point is that if you're a Christian person, you're very particular. You don't just settle for things. What you want as a Christian person is you look forward to the day when things are right. Not just momentarily right, not just temporarily right, not just provisionally right, not just partially right, but you want them to be right, and you will not settle for anything else. Now, the response to that would be, yes, but don't unbelieving people, people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus, want the same thing? Yes, that's true, but remember that they are unbelieving. Or maybe just for the sake of clarity, to put it a little bit differently, we could put it like this. We could say they are over-believing. They believe beyond what we believe. They really believe that this world has the resources to make things right, even though the Bible says that this world is fallen. And the unbelieving heart really believes that the human heart has the power and the will and the ability to make things right, even though the Bible says we are fallen. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 3, King Solomon writes, he says, "The hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. And afterwards, they go to the dead." That's some verdict. Full of evil, not only that, insanity. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to look around in this world? Are you going to look around at the people next to you and say to yourself, well, you know what? Right here lies the power and the will and the ability and the resources to set things right, to make everything go right. And if you believe that, I would point you to 5,000 years of recorded history in which nothing has happened like that, where things finally went right. It's a fool's philosophy. It's like saying to yourself, you're on the Titanic, and you know what? The captain says we're going down, but you know, if I just stay on the Titanic long enough, maybe it'll unsink itself. Maybe it'll stay afloat. Well, if you believe that, I've got the deed to the Golden Gate Bridge, if you want to buy it. But the human heart says what? I have to believe in something. I have to believe that there's some hope out there. I have to believe that somehow things can become right. And if that's what you believe, then I would say to you, good for you, because that is right. And our Old Testament lesson for today talks about it. This is what it says, Zechariah chapter 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Raise a shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king will come to you. Righteous and being saved is he, bowed down and riding upon a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his rule will be from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth." And what that tells us simply there is that a Christian person does have hope. And we do believe in something. And we do look ahead to something. And our Bible simply says we look ahead, page after page, to the return of the Messiah. We look ahead to the return of our Savior Jesus, because when he returns, we're done with the list. 2.5 pages plus, 11-point, of war after war and fight after fight. And the Lord says, when my son comes, that's the end of that list. We're done with that now. We're going to start a new list. Let's wash the old one away. Let's start a new list. Here's the new list. There will be, number one, no more death. There will be, number two, no more mourning. There will be, number three, no more crying. There will be, number four, no more pain, because the old order of things has passed away. Well, we're not there yet. Messiah has not returned yet, and we still do have the list of evils that goes on, and the hearts of the sons of men are still full of evil, and insanity is still in their hearts throughout all of their lives, and afterwards they go to the dead. And by the way, do not look at other people, look in the mirror. But also, when you look in the mirror, then also look at the cross. And realize there, like our Old Testament lesson says, that we have the blood of the covenant, and that we have the sacrificial death of Jesus and his perfect life, which makes it possible for you to enter and for me to enter into the kingdom of God, where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Actually, the Lord even issues an invitation, doesn't he, in the lesson. He says, return to your fortress, prisoners of hope. And a Christian person, when they hear the word fortress, they think invariably of the book of Psalms, where over and over again it calls God our fortress, our refuge, our tower of strength, our place of safety, our rock set on high. He says, return to me, O prisoners of hope. And what you got there is I would suggest a spot-on description of a child of God. You're still in this life a prisoner of a life of sin. You've got the consequences from your first parents. You got your own sin. You got the wages of sin is death. And yet, what do you hope for? You hope for the day of release, the day that will come because you have pardon and righteousness in Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, who is a king, not like the kings of this world, the mighty of this world. Instead, it says he's righteous. It says he's being saved. In other words, he's raised from the dead. It says he's bowed down to the suffering of the cross. It says he rides upon a donkey, coming among us and being one of us. And yet, even though he's not like the rulers of this age, he gets the job done. He does what 5,000 years of recorded history have never accomplished. Might does not make right, but the Lamb of God came and was simply a sacrifice for sin. And in being sacrificed for sin, he took away the sin, and he works all things together for good for them that love God and are according to his purpose. And you think about that for a moment, what a promise that is. God takes a world like this, that's a mess like this, and he can still, in the midst of all the mess, still make all things work for good for his children. And not only that, we have something to look forward to, something to hope in. The Lord will raise us and take us home. And so, the words written in the book of Zechariah 2,700, 2,600 years ago remain true today. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, your king's coming to you. Righteous and being saved is he. He is bowed down and riding upon a donkey. And the Lord says, I'll cut off the chariot from Ephraim. I'll cut off the war horse from Jerusalem. I'll break the bow of war. It'll be cut off. He will speak peace to the nations and his rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.